Okay, this is Graham Thickens here with Phil Wilson of Minovate, and this is going to kind of be our Minovate Gang podcast for Saturday, November the blah blah 21st. There we go.
21st of November.
Okay, and we're at the back of the lunch hour at Mini Bar, where some 500 people or more are attending at the Best Buy headquarters in suburban Minneapolis, Richfield to be specific. And we've got as our guest today John Roberts of New Council. How you doing, John?
John, doing good. What a great day.
Boy, it is a great day. Why are we inside?
Well, the ultimate irony is that these events, they always seem to coincide with incredibly good weather.
Right, exactly.
Last good day to be outside.
You know, I remember the one back in 07 in downtown St. Paul. Remember, it was 80 degrees and we were up on the roof drinking beer?
At Michael Connor's.
And it was like April, it was early April, and I was like, gorgeous. 80 degrees, what? You know, what do you think, John, of the day so far, and what's your, kind of, what's your take on... who's attending and the sessions and all that?
I think the good news is this certainly proves that Minnesota is becoming a good spot for innovation. And I think the even better news is that it's broadening out. My gosh, I don't know how many people here I haven't met and have got these new great ideas. So there's clearly a lot of people sitting in the basement, sitting in the garage. And
coding.
coding away.
Yeah.
And coming up with really, really good ideas.
Yeah.
You know, this thing started about 3 years ago in September. And I think we had like, do you remember, did you go to that one? It was at Catalyst Studios.
I missed that first one.
And
that
was like, 06. How many people there? 40, you know, 50?
Maybe, yeah.
There was a lot of beer, though, so it worked out pretty well. But again, I think there's just this incredible desire for people to collaborate and exchange, you know, information, and this is a perfect venue for that.
Yep.
And again,
and
physical venue, I think.
Yeah.
The
physical.
It just can't be done digitally.
Right. Somebody said who was here for the first time. He said, "Oh my God, this is like a corporate mall of America."
Yeah. Right. It is. It is. If you've never been at the Best Buy headquarters, it is very much like that. So, what do you think? You know, I sat on a little bit on the startup session here that was right before lunch, and we talk a lot about collaboration and sharing in the community to try and further ourselves as a startup sort of capital, as it were, and how do we compete with places like, you know, Valley and that sort of thing. So what do you think, John? I mean, it seems like we talk a lot about collaboration, but not necessarily, I don't know there is a lot of collaboration.
Well, of course, it depends what you mean.
Right.
If you're talking about money, this is still a very difficult town to raise money. I don't think there's any question about that. If you're talking about that traditional, you know, post friends and family, $50,000, and now you need $250,000 to $500,000, we still have not developed a good enough network there to plug in. It's still tough. You really have to. You have to be an incredible hustler to get that money. Now that said, certainly up until March, I think the angel world was very, very quiet here in town. But now we're seeing, you know, one or two deals a month, where people are coming in with that $200,000 to $500,000. Sometimes it's money here, sometimes it's money out, but it's really, again, I don't know, this shouldn't be a big surprise to anybody, but it has a lot to do with the founder's, I think, personal ambition to get that money. You know, as we tell people, okay, your idea, your application is your first 120% of your life, and then the next 120% of your life, done at the same parallel time, of course, is raising money. And if you're not willing to do that, and you don't have Uncle Frank who's willing to give you $200,000, you're going to have a hard time.
Yep.
Now, again, we've also got, though, again, there are people, and of course, with this age, with the tools available, I can't believe what people are doing for $25,000.
Yeah, it is amazing.
That's
it
the ultimate. Because, you know, and I tell people that we still have people come in who say, well, we're going to raise $1.7 million, and here's why, and it's all spelled out very, very well. And, you know, we'll raise that money, and then 18 months we'll be here. I just don't think that model works anymore.
No. You're fairly familiar with the VC world and a lot of the angel investors in the area. Are they here?
They are. Angel investors
today.
Are they here?
Well, again, we don't work very closely with any of the existing angel networks. I don't know. We've sent people over, and there hasn't been very good success rates. I think you need to go and find people who've got money and who have got a history of investing. again, are not afraid to write out a check for $50,000, because that's what you have to do. Write a check for $50,000 and say goodbye.
So you're saying that there's more, there's money out there.
Oh, absolutely.
It's just that they're not,
it's not,
they're not taking, they're not taking the initiative necessarily to go out and find things to invest in. They want it to come. They want people to come to them.
I don't know. I just, again, it's not like that group in L.A. where there's, what, 1,000, 1,200 guys who are kind of an organized angel group.
Tech Coast Angels?
Yeah. And it's mostly L.A. It just doesn't exist yet. Now, again, on the tech device side, it does exist. Mm-hmm. You know, plugging into that network.
Medical device, you mean?
Sure.
Yeah. Oh, right.
It works there. And there's people who raise staggering sums of money. Mm-hmm. But on the IT side, software, e-commerce, digital media, it's tough. It's really tough. But, you know, we help make introductions and try to do that. But really, it's about people knocking on as many doors as possible and being able to say, hey, I've got a great idea. Just get out and get a checkbook out and write it.
Yep.
Another good thing is people are doing it now. And there are people, of course, it goes without saying, there's a ton of money in this town. We've got these huge mega companies. Mm-hmm. And so there are people who've got checkbooks and $50,000 works for them.
Yeah, just drive around Lake Minnetonka and you can tell there's a lot of money in this. Yeah,
every time I drive around Lake Minnetonka, I get pulled over. So what are you doing over here?
You don't have any money. Yeah.
That's right. So I don't know. It's you got to, like all startups, you got to hustle. And again, on the venture side, of course, we've got Split Rock. Those guys have been strong supporters of tech in Minnesota. Sometimes they get, a bad rap about not investing here, but they do invest here. Whether you're talking about Compellent, right here, not too far away from this building, mm-hmm. or if you're talking about the guys up in St. Cloud, the credit scoring guys, they always they change your name every 6 months, so I never can remember.
E-Bureau or whatever it is. Yeah.
Right. So, again, Mike Gorman and Mike, early supporter of this group, but they're not doing $250,000 to $500,000.
No.
You can't, I don't think you can with a $250 million fund. Mm-hmm. So again, the only problem is, and again, who knows, you can say it's cultural. It's not Dallas, Texas. It's not Austin, Texas. It's not Portland. And we're not even talking about the Valley. We're talking about the next set of cities where people, I think, are more used to gambling.
Say again.
They're gamblers. Mm-hmm. In Dallas, people gamble.
Yep.
In Dallas, there's more of a startup. In Dallas,
it's a cowboy culture. Let's face it.
Well, you know, in Dallas, if you're working for a big company and your boss is making 300 and you're making 100 and a quarter, and the only reason your boss is making 300 is because you're making 100 and a quarter, that makes you mad. So you say, hey, there's cheap-ass Basin Richardson. I'm going to go beat his ass, and I want that money.
Yeah.
And we just don't, you know, we don't run into that as much here.
Yeah.
That kind of
We need more cowboy culture here, Phil.
You've got cowboy boots.
I'm going to start wearing boots. Maybe if we start wearing that.
If you want a hat and some ropers, you probably do. But also,
the fact that you even know what ropers are. You're a cowboy at heart.
Well, I lived down there for 13
there you
years.
Go. Oh, you did?
Yep. I got out of law school.
Give us a little history on you, John.
I got out of law school in ancient times, 82, and the tech here was really hurting bad. Honeywell, Control Data were all down. And I was kind of one of these weird guys who, I was a history major, but I took the only four computer science classes they offered at Gustavus.
You went to Gustavus. Yeah. I didn't know that. Cool.
So one day on campus at the University of Minnesota, two nutty guys show up from Texas Instruments interviewing. And it was the two assistant general counsels. They were like in their late 30s, so they weren't like some ancient old law partners. And they said, it says here you're interested in computers. I said, well, yeah. I said, well, yeah. So why don't you come on down? We'll show you around. So I thought they were just joking, because I'd been kind of callous going through the interview process.
This is on campus?
Yeah, on campus at the U. Because one guy spent his summers up here because his grandma lived in Duluth, so he wanted to come up. He thought Minnesota students would not be quite as crazy or picky as Stanford guys, and they might even stay in Texas, because people in California don't want to stay in Texas.
Yeah.
So I went down to TI. Incredible education, both from a business perspective and legal perspective. Then, out of the blue one day, about 4 years later, I get a call from a buddy who I thought was still at TI, but he was down the road and was helping start up a telecom company. And the company's name was, at that time, was Digital Switch. And they were pioneers in bringing digital technology to the telecom industry. And it was perfect time. It was mid-'80s. They busted up the Bell companies. They're liberated. They don't need to buy everything from AT&T. So I got there. We had no revenue, had not much money, but had 200 employees. They just had gone crazy. And when I left 9 years later, We had 5,000 employees and $1.3 billion in sales.
Wow.
So we sold into all the Bell Company, all the Arbachs, a lot of international deals. So for a young kid, it was just perfect training for me.
Oh, I bet.
They eventually got bought out by Alcatel.
Oh,
for
sure.
$4 billion.
Uh-huh.
So
you were in Texas for a lot of
13
years.
13 years, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
All in Dallas?
Yep, all in Dallas.
Wow.
And so it's a good thing for me. And
so you got boots.
I got boots.
A hat.
Oh, absolutely. Don't wear them. You know, it's so funny. I did not own a pair. I was contrary, and I swore to God I would not buy them until I left. So I bought them when I left. And so
there you go.
we actually took a year and a half off and traveled. I was promised. I met my wife, poor college students at the U, and we said if we ever had some time and maybe a little money, we'd take some time off before kids. So we took a year and a half off.
Was this after Alcatel acquired the company?
So, yeah. So I get back to Dallas, and after taking all this time off, and all my buddies, this is like 96-ish, 95-ish, they're all floating down to Dell in Austin.
Oh, sure.
Dell's almost all old TI guys. They had, at the time, believe it or not, Dell has two lawyers. One of them's an old TI guy. And they said, well, come on down. Just move down. So I fly down. I meet Michael Dell. And they tell him, oh, yeah, John's going to start with us like next week or something. I said,
Wait a minute, I just flew down.
Literally, I didn't even talk to anybody. So, of course, it was so incredibly seductive. So, well, sure, I want to come here. I said, okay. It was like Friday. You come back tomorrow with your wife, and we'll go look at houses. I said, what? Yeah. So I fly back to Dallas on Southwest Air, tell my wife what's going on. We fly down to Austin, of course, they got a deal set up with a realtor, and they're doing the hard sell. And we get back that night, we get back Sunday night. My wife professes to me that she really wants to move back to Minnesota.
Oh, wow.
All her family's here, farm community about an hour west of here.
Well, you told her Austin had the same name as a city and area town.
I thought, and again, one of those few moments of clarity in my life, and I haven't had many, is I said, she has kind of lived down here the last 13 years. She had a good job at Citicorp, but I said, what the hell? So I came back, And it's been an interesting adventure here. I got a job with a large law firm who wanted to build a tech practice, Leonard Street and Dinard.
Oh, sure.
And again, luckily, I've been at the right place at the right time. I got here right as the internet was booming. And surprisingly, Fagery, Dorsey, Robbins, the big firms didn't care about the internet. They thought it was some kind of stupid fad or something. So
I still think it is.
I do too. Well,
I don't think it's going to catch on.
But so all of a sudden I wake up and I've got all the ISPs, the top 7 or 8 independent ISPs, like the guys that go fast and fizzy.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
And a lot of the major website construction companies.
So you were working with them in the early days.
Absolutely.
Well,
yeah.
So mid-90s.
So, and then, I couldn't stand, again, this is terribly boring, so we probably shouldn't talk more about this, but, I went to Net Perceptions, one of my clients, and I was general counsel there, and we did two public offerings.
Yeah. Were you pre-IPO
no,
or post-IPO?
Post-IPO,
yeah.
I got there before we did the secondary offering.
Yes.
We raised like $25 million.
Yeah. Yep.
So, again, so I've had an interesting, a stretch here, but I think this conference proves that there's the base stuff is happening. We need some success stories.
Yeah.
We need another half dozen digital rivers. Tell me another internet success story we've got here in town that's really a digital river.
I don't know what the next one is going to be, but, the guys up in St. Cloud are doing good things.
W3i.
They're clearly
the stealth success story.
Yeah.
And their session's going on right now, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, the brothers, are they speaking?
I saw one of them there. Yeah, I saw Robert.
They're doing the top trends in the app world. So
Those guys are great. Yeah. And their brother Aaron's. Have you met Aaron yet?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's got a new gig.
Has he told you about his?
I've heard about it. I haven't had a chance to meet with him yet.
Okay, you should double back and try to talk to him. It's pretty cool.
Yeah. Well, and I like seeing other guys show up here that have kind of done it before. The serial entrepreneurs, I think, are going to help.
Well,
the new entrepreneurs.
So one of today's sponsors is Slantwise Design.
Mm-hmm.
And, I was talking to one of their founders today, Todd Emmel.
Mm-hmm.
And how many companies have sprung up out of that, out of the Slantwise Design team?
Yeah,
five,
kind of interesting.
Six.
Yeah.
That's where Fan Chatter started. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely, yeah.
Luke Francel is there, and John Dahl, and I heard some interesting news about John. That'll come out in the next few months.
Let's go.
Luke imparted to me that he was selected for a well-known incubator program. program, shall we say.
Shall we
Yeah, so those kind of stories.
Hint, hint, Silicon Valley.
But you got to get to the point where you've got companies that are more than two or three people shops. I guess that's right. Fine. You know, there's nothing wrong with lifestyle businesses. Mm-hmm. We represent a lot.
Right.
Because, you know, you can, that's the other beauty of the web now is if you want to build a business, make 10 grand a month.
That'll work.
That'll work for a lot of people.
Oh, absolutely.
But I still got to think that if you really want to have more money, of course, getting back to the money issue.
Sure.
Speaking about six more digital rivers, then there will
then
be
all of
tons
a sudden there's
of people,
a lot of attention.
And also people who say, yeah, you know, a local tone, that makes a hell of a lot of sense.
Right.
And so here's 50 grand, and no, you know, you know, the good
and that
thing
guy's name again was, I'm sure.
Because angel guys, they don't expect to come in and be on the board or anything like that, or tell you what to do on a day-to-day level. You get to that later when you get to the venture guys.
Right.
Yep. So you got to have that kind of structure.
Yep. Yep.
So what do you got planned for this afternoon, John?
I don't know. I was going to go to the iPhone thing. That looked pretty good.
Yeah.
I went to the Android thing. It was pretty darn good this morning.
Yep.
And
you know,
Justin
stuff,
did that.
Isn't it?
It's the mobile stuff is just fascinating.
It's just amazing.
It's
And the Do App guys are here. I don't think they're leading a session, but I saw them earlier, and they were in the journalism news discussion.
Yeah, I represent them, and they're doing a lot of cool stuff. And, of course, you've met Joe Schreiber. Well, you know Joe.
Oh, sure,
sure. Yeah. He worked with him. And, these people are coming out of the, you know, it's just sort of the great Oklahoma land rush for those people. We've got this kid. His name is Ben Kaziz. Do you know Ben at all yet?
I don't know if I've met him.
Ben, I think 2007 or 8 grad of Carleton. He did this thing called Flight Tracker.
I have talked to this guy on the phone. He moved to Michigan.
He's living in Ann Arbor
now. In Ann Arbor,
But
he worked at Apple, or he like interned there out of Carleton.
Yep.
And yeah, and he's got a really hot app. That Flight Tracker app gets featured in the Apple ads.
It's $250,000 downloads, and $4 a pop. Yeah.
So you're representing him too. Mm-hmm. Huh?
Yeah.
Great.
Good for you.
So again, you know, of course, that's more of the rock star type deal.
Sure.
Where
I
think what Do App's doing and what makes sense, I think what they're finally getting to is, you know, building business processes.
Right.
You know, for the phone. Mm-hmm. It's sort of like what's going on. It's like the video platform people, where it's okay, anybody can put a video platform up there, but what does it really mean to your business and that kind of connection? So I think that's the stuff that's happening now.
Sure,
The next generation stuff.
Yep.
And now
with
the Android coming out, who knows what? I don't know if you've thought about that, Graham, what kind of dynamic change that makes to the marketplace.
Well, yeah, it does. And how about the Google Chrome OS, which was just ballyhooed this week?
Right.
I mean, yeah, it's you got to wonder what Microsoft is thinking, looking at all of the developments. You
got to think that Google's got some kind of master plan that takes Android and hooks it into everything else there.
Well, I think their purchase of AdMob.
Wasn't that incredible?
And that's obviously
another proof that the land rush continues.
Yeah, there's a whole mobile strategy going on at Google there.
I think Do App had to look at that as an interesting development too with their Adagogo platform. And ads on mobile is a whole burgeoning area for sure. So
ads anywhere. You know, if there's one vertical that continues to get tons of dough, you know, it's anything to do with managing ad streams or, you know, little people are building their little platforms, little ERP type systems. I'm shocked by people getting $4 or $5 million pre-revenue. They're all Valley deals, but all you got to do is read do you read Digital Media Wire?
I read VentureBeat, and
you need to check out Digital Media Wire.
Okay,
they get pretty good coverage of the day-to-day
of who's getting funded.
So it's like it's kind of like the old days where people get a ton of dough for almost nothing.
And
we're a long ways from that here, though. You know?
But
again, you got to be happy. The only thing the only warning is that it's getting so big. I think the program has been very, very, very good so far.
Yeah,
keep this relevant. If you remember the NetSuds days, by the time it got to 600, 650, it was getting just too crazy.
Yeah, it's getting a little unwieldy, doesn't it?
It is.
It is. How do you make it relevant to a lot of people?
Well, that's why the smaller meetings, the mini demos, of course, they're getting to be 250 or more at each of those, too.
Sure.
So, if there are, I mean, any excuse to get the people together in smaller groups is a good one.
Well,
I
still human interactions.
Mm-hmm. It's where it's at, really.
Yep,
and a more broadband approach to communications.
Well, and we hear talk about incubator kinds of deals here locally. You heard anything like that?
Yeah, you know, have you talked to Kim Gerritsen?
Yeah, and he's doing the Clove.
That's
the
right,
Spice Apps guys.
You were there this
as a matter of fact.
Week?
As a matter of fact, we're doing, I threw an ad hoc session together here this afternoon that we'll just do a quick beta, public beta of Chrome or of Clove.
Have you met those guys yet?
There's 19-year-old kids.
Our youngest clients. So.
Yeah, brilliant.
And are they still university students?
No, they're not going to university.
It was so funny. They both went to the Zoo School.
Zoo School, which is environmental education.
Yes, exactly.
Sort of thing, so, yeah.
And they said, we convinced our parents not to go to school, and they're very nice. And also, for 19-year-olds, incredibly poised. But that's another thing, too, we're finding is that there are some incredibly smart, poised people under 22, 23 years old are doing deals. We've got another guy. He's a fourth-year joint EE physics major program between UW-Eau Claire and the University of Minnesota. And I think last time we had a meeting with him, Harold was trying to convince him he needed to quit school to work on his project. Colin Carpfinger. You need to meet Colin, too. He's here today. He's more of a hardware guy, too.
Huh.
We're also seeing a nice little hardware renaissance, too, in this town where there was the Spectrum Design acquisition last year. Do you know anything about that?
Spectrum Design.
A bunch of hardware guys, wireless. They came up with all these little customized apps, and they got bought out by Digi International. And Digi International is another company.
Public company.
Company that's totally reinvented itself and is doing
some
really, really cool stuff. They're probably the coolest mid-size tech company in town right now. Spectrum Design guys, they got bought out. So, again, they've been doing some other stuff, too. And our star client these days are a bunch of guys up in St. Michael, a company called Cinch Systems.
How do you spell that?
C-I-N-C-H.
Oh, just like it sounds.
Yeah, Joel Christensen is the founder. GE guy. He was in the GE security business, which I didn't even know had a big place here. And GE made a decision, and they finally have consummated it, that a $2 billion a year marketplace was too small. So they just sold off the two halves of the security business the last 6 months. So Joel said, well, there's a great opportunity. So he's building a box. The first application is for government security. And people don't know this, but right now the U.S. government is building 70 embassies around the world because security is totally compromised in every single embassy.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's looks pretty simple box. You can put any kind of input you want into it. Okay, I got to have a video camera over here. I want to look at that here. Oh, I got to have some kind of sensor on all the file drawers and the regular doors and the windows. I need to have something to lower and raise the cement barrier at the gate. And also, this is in Brazil, so what if everybody gets taken out? I got to have somebody in Washington be able to manage that just as well. So they just got State Department approval in July, and now the orders are just flying. And I think it's one of those deals where the business of the government is big enough to create a very nice business, but again, I got to believe there's tremendous commercial applications as well.
Oh, yeah.
When's the last time Minnesota had a bunch of EEs hacking away? And this guy, classic guy, he's mortgaged his house twice, he's taken money from his 401k,
So they're kind of self-funded it.
Absolutely, and it's the one client we've had where we met him about 3 years ago, and after the meeting we looked at each other, even after he'd given us the classic EE presentation, 60-page investment pitch. Eight to ten pages.
You sat through that?
We're being nice. 8 to 10 pages on the new encryption standards. That crucial issue. But Joel is just, he's a force. And it was the one time he left, and we looked at Harold, and Harold's a pretty conservative guy about investing. We both said, we need to take our own money and invest, and so we did. So
I remember this deal now.
I think we might have told you about it. So there, again, there's a lot.
So they're really going to town, huh?
Yep.
Well, that's great.
They're up to 12 people and a bunch of senior GE guys who are either doing it at night or have quit and are doing it for nothing. And when you go to the building up there, you say, "Oh, this is like it's the Valley. It's the Valley here," because there's people doing stuff, and it's not just software guys. Although they're of course big software guys too.
Yeah.
So.
Well, that's great. Yeah, it's good to hear about stories like that. You know, it just amazes us at Minovate that we keep finding things that we'd never heard of
before. Well, you know, Minneapolis is just big enough.
It is. Well, you think you know it all, but you really can't ever know it all, you know,
and
without coming to things like this.
People are squirreled away, and they've been working on something for 2 years, and you finally get a chance to meet them.
Well, listen, we're kind of coming up on our 25-minute mark here, but what do you think, Phil?
I think we've got a lot. Did you happen to get social media breakfast?
No, yesterday. I missed it yesterday.
I think we all missed it, which is
out at Imation,
our
right?
fault. Yeah, our fault.
And, how is that thing going?
I have, you know, social media breakfast is going great. So it's, I believe there were 300-plus people there again that I heard.
Yep.
So
largest in the country,
but,
John.
What do we got coming up? Obviously, the holidays, things are going to slow down a little bit as far as meetings and conferences.
Yeah, what else is coming up in November other than a social media breakfast, which will be towards the end of the month? I don't know. It will be into
December.
I heard Justin talking today.
Yeah,
about,
Justin did the Android.
Twin City.
Mobile Twin Cities, right.
Really we didn't know about.
We did Mobilicious on, we did a piece on that on Innovate a couple of days ago, but that was on Tuesday night, and a lot of Demolicious, I believe
I
is what
you,
he
Jeff.
Called it. A lot of mobile demos, a lot of interesting
Justin
stuff
did a,
out there.
Justin, what a great job. You know, got up there in front of an incredibly, you know, pretty knowledgeable crowd and answered those questions pretty darn well. That's a tough crowd.
Who are so
super deep into that stuff.
Oh, yeah,
so
yeah.
It's good to touch.
Well, yeah, I would imagine December is going to be kind of a slow month for events, as you would expect. But
how's Minovator doing? What's going on there? What's traffic?
Well, the traffic keeps picking up.
Yeah,
I think.
We're pretty happy with it.
What are we up to? Over 50 weekly podcasts now, aren't we?
No, we're at this. I believe this is 59.
This
may even
be
60.
We don't catch them every week, but occasionally we have to skip a week. But we're
good
plugging
to go.
Away. Yeah, we're you know trying to stay in touch with what's going on in this state, which is a lot. As we've
if you could ever get to the other side of that dark wall, with the med tech thing and the device thing.
Oh yeah,
yep.
I don't know how we draw them into more of the larger tech development community, because it's just staggering. We've got one guy, he's the CEO of CVRX or something like that, and he sits on one of my clients' advisory panels, so I got to know him pretty well. They have raised $150 million.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Wow.
And they're like two years away from revenue.
Yeah, the money just keeps coming.
So how do you plug the rest of the world into that excitement, that money? You know, there's got to be people on that side over there that would definitely understand technology and would be interested in some of these things, because there is crossover between the two.
Oh, sure, sure. There certainly is with mobile. And you know, I know a couple guys working on great mobile apps in healthcare for the med tech folks,
absolutely.
For Medtronic and for United Health. I mean, these things are coming together, so maybe that's a ray of hope for the future, that some of the med tech dollars will start to gravitate towards what's going on in software and internet. You know, it's got to happen. You know,
how much is it?
It's just a matter of time. Well,
let's go ahead and get on to the rest of the afternoon and get back to the sessions. And then thanks, Jen. Thank you very much for stopping in. You know, it's nice to get to know you a little bit better too. You know, about your rootin' tootin' days back in Texas.
Hey, appreciate it.